Deva Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the fifth canto, chapter 18, entitled The Prayers Offered to the Lord by the Residents of Jambudvip. And this is text number 4. Vedanti Vishvam Kavaya Sma Nasvaram Pashyanti Charyatma Vido Vipaschita Tatapi Muyanti Tavaja Mayaya Suvishmitam Krityam Ajam Nato Smitam. Jai Guru Maharaj, Jai Pataka Maharaj, Ki Jai. Vedanti Vishvam Kavayasma Nasparam. Vedanti Vishvam Kavayasma Nasparam. Pashyanti charyatma vido vipaschitaha. Pashyanti charyatma vido vipaschitaha. Tatapi muyanti tavaja mayaya. Tatapi muyanti tavaja mayaya. Suvishmitam krityam ajam nato smitam. Suvishmitam krityam ajam nato smitam. Please chant. Vedanti visvam kudayam smitam. Matajis. Vedanti, they say authoritatively, Vishvam, the entire material creation. Kavaya, great learned sages. Sma, certainly. Nasvaram, perishable. Pashyanti, they see in trance. Cha, also. Adhyatma Vida, who have realized spiritual knowledge. Vipaschitaha, very learned scholars. Tatapi, still. Muyanti, become illusioned. Tava, your. Aja, O unborn one. Mayaya, by the illusory energy. Suvishmitam, most wonderful. Krityam, activity. Ajam, unto the supreme unborn one. Nata asmi, I offer my obeisances. Tam, unto him. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my obeisances, my respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Not only does the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned soul within this material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced learned scholars who factually know the constitutional position of this material world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, quote, I am this material body, aham mameti, Srimad Bhagavatam 558, and everything in relationship with this material body is mine, end quote. He is an illusion, moha. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association with the modes of material nature for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mam eva ye prabhajante, mayam etam taranti te. Only those who surrender to me can overcome the influence of the material energy. Therefore, no one should think of himself as a liberated person, immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regulative principles. Thus, he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bhart. Maharaj Bhart was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly toward a small deer, he had to suffer two more births, one as a deer and another as the Brahmana Jada Bhart. After he was liberated, he went back home, back to Godhead. The Lord is always prepared to execute or excuse his devotee. But if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of the illusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure. Om Gyana Tumarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakatamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Manchakopa, Tribhishta, Kripa Sindhu, Vivacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So the translation again. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So here, these are the prayers being offered by the residents of Jambudweep. They're very wonderful prayers. And in different sections there, they're offering different prayers to different incarnations of Krishna. And these first prayers that we're listening to, there's six verses here. And these are prayers being offered to Harigriva, who we know that at the end of a kalpa, there's this demon named Ajnana, who steals the Vedic knowledge, and then Lord Harigriva appears and preserves it, and then he delivers it back to Lord Brahma. But it's interesting, there's another time at the end of some previous kalpa, there was a demon named Harigriva, and he stole the Vedic knowledge away from Lord Brahma and at the time of annihilation. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead had to appear as a fish, and he saved the Vedas again. So it's interesting. I thought that was interesting. Oh, there's different names. Harigriva, that's a similar pastime of the stealing of the Vedas. And also in Dwarka Puri, it's described that Krishna is the protector of the city, and he incarnates himself in different parts of the city in nine different places. So he expands himself in nine different forms, and one of the forms is Harigriva. So he's in nine different areas. So here we're in New Dwarka, and so we see, hopefully, that Harigriva is here, along with Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Narayan, Nisringa, Braha, and Brahma. These are all the nine incarnations of Krishna protecting New Dwarka, or Dwarka Puri. So this is actually this Lord Brahma in this particular case. It's described as not a living entity. It's actually Krishna who came at this time because there was no qualified personality to take the post of Lord Brahma. So he came at that time. So it's interesting, the different incarnations of Krishna. There's different forms of Krishna. It's described that there's two categories, primarily how Krishna expands himself. And one is the Prabhava form and the Vaibhava. So the Prabhava forms, they're fully potent like Sri Krishna himself. And the Vaibhava forms, they're partially potent. So these Vaibhava forms is mentioned as Kurma, Macha, Narayan, Vraha, and Harigriva is also mentioned. So we see this is a form, one of the forms of Krishna. So in this tract of land, there's this son of Dharmaraj. His name is Bhadrashrava. And he is in this particular section called Bhadrashva, Varsha. And he's accompanied by all his residents, intimate residents of this particular place. And they're offering these wonderful prayers to Lord Harigriva. And it's interesting, he's saying how Lord Harigriva is actually a reservoir of all religious principles. He cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this mature world. And then he says how wonderful it is that foolish materialists, they don't not heed to the great dangers of this impending death. And this is interesting how this wonderful, it's very wonderful, and this is what the, I think Yudhisthira was being asked by, also by Yamaraj, was mentioning how, what is the most wonderful thing? He asked him all these different questions. And he said, the most wonderful thing is that people are dying every day before us, and yet we think, oh, I'll never die. So somehow or another, we don't, it's interesting that we don't heed to this. We heedlessly try to enjoy mature happiness with acquired money that we gain in this mature world. And then in today's verse, he mentions about how even the advanced, those who are practically liberated, sometimes they even become bewildered by your illusory energy. So he's saying, this is also wonderful. Your illusory energy is very wonderful. It's very powerful. And he compares that in the next verses, next two verses. He continues the prayer that how you are completely detached from this mature world. You know, your inconceivable energies, you perfectly cause everything. You're the cause of all causes. You're the active principle in everything. And although you're separate from everything, yet you're, you know, the principle that's causing everything to happen. So he's talking about his inconceivable energy and how in the millennium he came and incarnated to protect the Vedas, which are very important. So the Vedas are always very, very much emphasized, protected, they're preached, they described how they're practically, you know, they're Krishna himself in incarnation, which teaches us how to get out of this material energy, this influence of this illusion that we're in. And this is the whole purpose of the Vedic literatures and the saintly personalities. They come to give us the knowledge of the Vedas so that we can get free from this bodily identification, this great illusion. And as we read in the previous chapter, how this material energy is just made up of these elements. They're just material elements. And these elements, it's described to be like a machine. This whole material universe is like a machine. In fact, he said nature is nothing but a machine. And the living entities are within this machine, and they're being controlled by it. And Srila Prabhupada explains that how, according to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're being in this machine being operated. And this is the secret of transmigration, of how we go from one body to the next. So, that's what he says. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of a computer. It's being handled by the operator, which is Krishna. And we are just connected to this virtual reality, this computer machine, and actually identifying with it and thinking this is us, but actually it's not. So the devotee, he becomes, one of his qualities is he is without inebriation. He's apramatta. He's not mad. And as Prabhupada describes this verse somewhere, he says, insanely attached. We become insanely attached to this material energy, to our material bodies, to our relatives, families, material possessions. And it's very interesting how this is a quality of devotee. He's supposed to be detached. He doesn't have inebriation. He actually sees things in their proper perspective. He sees that this is actually not reality. And that people that are too attached to these things, they're insane. They're crazy. And it's interesting how we see throughout the history of ISKCON, many of our parents think we're crazy. But the devotees, they think their parents are crazy. So there's this whole back and forth, you know, fight. And the materialists think we're crazy. We think the materialists are crazy. So Prabhupada writes an article, who is crazy, right? So one who's attached to illusion, things that are temporary, that are not even real, is crazy. But those who are attached to the reality, things that are permanent, then they're actually sane. And this is the actual quality of a devotee. And there's many different stories throughout history of how a little inattention, we become, we can fall down. Like Prabhupada mentions Bharat Maharaj in this particular chapter, how just with a little inattention, he lost his focus on his spiritual consciousness and he became a little attached to a deer. And because of that, you know, when he passed away, he was thinking of the deer and he had to become a deer in his next life. But yet he was blessed that he could remember his previous life and he performed spiritual activities in the form of a deer. And then he was born in the body of Jatabrat, as we know. And then he became self-realized and he was really focused and intense. He was not insanely attached to anything. He was practically insanely attached to Krishna, where he pretended to be retarded and dumb and stupid like that, so he won't be distracted. But there's other examples in the Bhagavatam we see where there were personalities insanely attached. And probably the most prime example of that is Dhritarashtra. He was insanely attached to his sons who were, you know, they were crazy themselves, actually. They were insane because they were like totally attached to his material energy and they wanted to be the rulers of the world to the point where they tried to kill their relatives, their cousins, right? They tried to kill them in so many different ways. And Dhritarashtra just kind of blindly just accepted and went along with them and all their intrigues. And all throughout these, and every one of them failed. In fact, towards the end, we see that all these sons of Dhritarashtra were all killed. And they're all wiped out. His favorite sons were killed. All 100 sons completely smashed. And still, Dhritarashtra, insanely attached, takes shelter of Yudhisthira and lives at his house. You know, even though he tried to kill them. But it happened that, you know, Yudhisthira and his, you know, Arjuna and the 5 Pandavas, they killed, with the help of Krishna, they killed them all. But yet, he's still living in the house of the persons who he tried to kill. And the persons who killed his sons, simply because he wanted to prolong his life. He was attached to the comforts of life. So we know Dhritarashtra was blind. He was materially blind all throughout his life, and he was also spiritually blind. And so again, here we have another figure that comes, the saintly people, saintly devotees, and this is Dharmaraj, who comes as Vidura. And we know the only purpose of the saintly personalities is to enlighten the fallen conditioned souls in illusion. So he came back home after his travels to all the holy places, not to just go home to be comforted, but actually specifically in mind to deliver his brother, Dhritarashtra. So the devotees, you know, they help us get out of illusion. And how does it describe? Srila Prabhupada was describing this morning in a lecture how by their words, by their strong words, we can be snapped out of illusion. And this is what Vidura did to Dhritarashtra. With sharp words, he's bringing him to reality. Look, you've been blind all your life, and now your teeth are loose, and your hearing is going bad. Your liver is defective. You know, describing how your body is diminishing. But yet still, look at you. You're living in the house, you know, of an enemy. You're like a dog, you know, eating off the hand of Bhima. And he mentions Bhima because Bhima is the one that killed his favorite two sons. Was it Duryodhana and Dushasana, I think, were his favorite sons. So he woke him up. And, you know, he was explaining to him how now, you know, you're supposedly a king, but yet a king is the one who gives orders, one who controls. But can the king control time? Can he tell, you know, old age to stop? So therefore, nobody's a king in this world. Everybody's controlled. So you're dying, and therefore you should make a solution to this problem of the mature world. And you should get out of here and take up spiritual life. So this is what he did. He actually left without anybody knowing. He went up to the Himalayas along with his wife, and they performed devotional service. And ultimately, he helped save himself. So you could see a person's whole life. He was engaged in intrigue and insanely attached to his family members and performing all kinds of sinful, horrendous activities, trying to get comfortable in this mature world and take control. Even despite all this, by the power of a saintly personality who was able to enlighten him, he was able to make his life successful. So as we read in this chapter, it's going to be described how, you know, the Ganges is so purifying. You know, it purifies all our sins. But it's described how it's after prolonged use. But if one simply hears once the instructions of a pure devotee, then he becomes purified at once. It's very powerful. The potency of obtaining the shelter of a devotee. So this is in the past there was only one Dhritarashtra, but now there's practically a Dhritarashtra in every home. They're all trying to live comfortably. Even in Prabhupada describes how even in politics, the leaders, they're very much attached to their position and they'll stay there to the fag end of their life. You know, turning into old fools, you know, just completely attached to their position, wealth, and money. So we have to become sane. We have to become devotees that understand the position of the mature world because it's very powerful. As described in this verse, even the self-realized can be overcome by this illusion. But if we keep in association with devotees, and this is the secret, Prabhupada describes that fools do not understand that by association, one develops qualities. So association of devotees is the most powerful thing. If you associate with devotees, then you will start developing these qualities. Because when you associate devotees, what are you going to do? You're going to hear about Krishna. You're going to engage in Krishna service. They're going to remind you of Krishna. There's so many different ways. This is really powerful. But if you associate with materialists, what are they going to do? They're going to remind you of sense gratification. They're going to remind you of money, of, you know, your goals in this world, you know, what to accomplish. So many things like that we're going to be reminded. I mean, these are nice. We need these. We could develop material and spiritual things side by side. But if the material things distract from the spiritual things, then we should understand that we should let those go. We should become detached and engage more and more in devotional service. So There's a nice quote that Vidura told Dhritarashtra. Yasvakat parato veha jata nirveda atmavan hridi kritva harim gehat pravajet sa narottamaha. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing in his heart. So, we know that this material world is a great illusion, and we think here everything is tangible, but at the next moment, it's all evaporated. And it's very nicely described, different analogies that are given, just like the sea, there's the foam, or the cloud in the sky. We see that the cloud in the sky, it appears to be reality, and it produces so many temporary things. Green things appear, you know, little creepers and so many things appear. But what happens in the ultimate issue? Everything disappears. The cloud, the rain, the green vegetables, in due course of time, all this just disappears. But the sky, which remains, and the luminaries in the sky, they also remain forever. So similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, it always remains eternally. But the temporary cloud-like illusion, it comes and goes. So foolish people, they're attracted to this temporary cloud. But intelligent men, they're more concerned with the eternal sky with all its variegatedness. There's variegatedness in the spiritual world. And that's what our goal is. So it's 15 after. Is there any comments or questions? Realizations? Yes, Mother Omkara. Yes. Any other comments? Questions? Sorry. Thoughts? No. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sorry.